Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you, along with John Bruins, who's engineering for us in Calgary at the Saddle Dome. Battle of Alberta starts tonight. It's an awesome thing. Just watching the video that they're going to play at house here. And it's all of guys squaring off in fights. So you know what? If they're willing to do that, we're going to have some fun as well here a little bit later on today. Keep texting us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. But at this time, we're going to head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. Our NHL insider is John Shannon for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments, no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy. Legacy Heating and Cooling. And so it begins. Hello, John. How you doing?
Hey, Bob. Holy smokes. A three-hour show today, and then the game. You're the hardest-working man in radio.
That's the myth. I don't know if there's any truth to that, but I consider it. John, you know, it's a privilege. You know that. I mean, it's a kicker. It's awesome just to be here.
I was going to say, they don't pay you, so you might as well just enjoy it.
So. Quit. You know what? I don't want anybody knowing. What was the old joke? Don't tell anybody what I'm making. I'm too embarrassed. Which NHL player, I'm trying to think, or was it an NHL coach that said that one time?
I think it was a coach. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, put on your analyst hat. What do you got here? And well, I mean, obviously, we'll get you to tell some stories a little bit later on your fondest memories of the Battle of Alberta, but how do you see this one shaking down between the Oilers and the Flames?
Well, I think if you look at what Dallas did to the Flames, a lot of that pushing them to the outside occurred with the blue line and the defensemen. And I'm not for one second suggesting that that's possible with the Oilers, because I like the Dallas defense a little bit more than I like the Oilers defense. But that's where it's going to be. And if they can they can control that big line and push the rest of the guys to the outside, then it's the Mike Smith versus Jacob Markstrom battle. Whoever wins that's got a chance. There's Connor McDavid. There's nobody in the Calgary Flames that is as good as Connor McDavid, so that gives an advantage to the Edmonton Oilers. Question marks on a few injuries. Obviously, Leon Draisaitl's at the top of that list. So to me, in the end, it's two guys, Michael Backlund and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. And whoever becomes the more proficient guy through the series between Nugent-Hopkins and Backlund, I suggest will win the series.
Well, and it's interesting because RNH in his career against Calgary, he's got 40 points in 48 games, but Backlund's been really good against Edmonton, 41 points in 55 games, and strong two-way performance and often against Connor McDavid. How do you think the complexion changes, given that we know that Leon's unlikely probably to see a lot of time at center, and they're basically deploying Hyman and Evander Kane as a tandem and then rotating the centers through and making it a little bit difficult to predict when you're going to see McDavid when and with who out on the ice?
You see, I actually, in some sort of backhanded way, taking advantage of Leon's injury is something that the Oilers, I think, did very well in Game 7 against L.A., and I think that really became a factor in when you put Leon and, you can call it a lower body injury. I can call it a leg injury. Leon's leg injury really doesn't affect his passing. And so when you can still take advantage of Leon's passing in a lot of scenarios with Connor as the centerman, that's still a tremendous advantage for the Oilers. Yamamoto and Kane, Hyman, all three of those guys are going to be factors, how and when they play with Connor. So I don't see the Draisaitl injury near as debilitating to the Oilers offense as a lot of people do. I think that he's going to be a factor somehow, But his ability to use his stick, his vision of the ice, I think are still very much positive for Edmonton.
We're joined by John Shannon, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Bob Stauffer at the Saddle Dome in Calgary. The Oilers and the Flames game one in the Battle of Alberta. Now, the Battle of Alberta, in large part, I think, was sparked in the regular season by Matthew Tkachuk. It's got to be stated. It was a border skirmish for a while, but it certainly picked up during the 18-19, and it started here. You know, it's funny, and people don't remember this, but you're on air, John, right now with a guy who's got a memory like an elephant. You know that. And Matthew Tkachuk's first NHL game was in Edmonton. It was when the Oilers opened up Rogers Place, and the Oilers had a thing set up with Mark Messier and Wayne Gretzky, and the Flames came on the ice and kind of interrupted that a little bit. And I remember. And I was a little bit surprised by that. But anyways, during the game, there was a play behind the goal, but behind the Oilers goal, it would have been in the second period, and Matthew Tkachuk slew-footed Brandon Davidson. And I know Davidson challenged him to a fight. You know this later in the season, and Tkachuk didn't want to fight him. But he personally, for me, and I think for a lot of Oilers fans, and it's hard to ignore how good of a player he is because he scored 40 goals and had 100 points. And he started taking on more comers when he took Cassian on finally in January of 2020. But he personifies, in many respects for me, the rebirth of the Battle of Alberta. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right that way. The one thing I would say is that a lot of the success of the Flames in this series will be how controlled Matthew Tkachuk is. To me, that's a big part of if he can play within himself and not get too emotionally involved in the events. Because the more out of control Tkachuk plays, I think the better it is for the Oilers. Whether it's taking silly penalties and putting the Oilers power play on the attack, or just playing out of control, which allows the Oilers to be probably a little more physical and then probably a little more effective in transition. So I think that as a barometer, I think you're bang on, and I think that he will become that focal point again. But to me, the meeting that Daryl Sutter probably had with him 2 days ago, yesterday, and probably had another one today was, so much of what we want you to do, Matthew, is play to the edge, but don't cross the line. And that's what's important for him and for the Flames.
John, will we ever see hockey like we saw between these two teams in the 1980s? Will we ever get back to that place? Are the players just too completely different? The rules are too complete. Society's too different. You can't just, you know, like I'll tell you, like, and John, I know you've experienced this as well. But if you were at a bar, and, you know, I was 18 in 1984. So let's just work on the context of that. If you had a problem in a bar in Edmonton in the mid-1980s, you went outside and settled it. And if you knocked the guy down, you picked him back up and often went in and had a drink. And if he knocked you on your ass, which usually was the case when I was going, I was usually the guy losing. You know, often those guys, hey, you want to go in for a drink now, buddy? We're just in a different time. Or aren't, like, will anything come close to the bitterness and the nastiness and the ugliness and the sheer beauty of what we had from 1983 to 1991 between these two teams in those playoff series in the Battle of Alberta?
No, it's not physically possible anymore. You know, society has changed and the game has changed. You know, I mean, the amount of water skiing that occurred in all of five series of the Battle of Alberta now would be penalties going out, you know, of every orifice of your body. It just would not happen. It cannot happen. That's not to say it won't get physical. It will get physical. But, you know, we're just not going to see the level of violence that you're talking about, that they're playing on the scoreboard at the Saddle Dome right now. You're not going to see the level of violence. But there will be the intensity, Bob. The fans will create a lot of the intensity. The cities will do that, but the players will too. There will be enough intensity, and I think that by the time this series is over, we're going to talk about this series like we do 91, like we did 86, and we did the seven-game forgotten series of 84.
All right. You worked on, I think, every series but the 1991 series. Do you have a couple standout memories?
Two goals, one for each team. A good Friday in April of 1984, Game 6, Lanny McDonald coming down the right side at the Saddle Dome. A slap shot in overtime that broke Grant Fuhr's goal stick blade right in half and went in the net. And then the Wayne's goal in 88, which was the last time that he participated in the Battle of Alberta. The overtime goal that won the game against Mike Vernon, again in the Saddle Dome. Those are the two goals that I remember. And then I don't think you can't not talk about 86 in my liking for the sheer and utter event that was Game 7 in 86 in the Smythe Division Final. When Lanny McDonald was first credited, Perry Barazan ended up being credited with the winning goal and Steve Smith's mistake off of Grant Fuhr's pad.
Yeah. Any humorous anecdotal stories for you along the way? Now, did you guys used to drive back and forth, or did you fly back and forth in those Hockey Night in Canada days?
We did both. The last couple we did, we rented a Winnebago. And drove back and forth, and then we could leave when we wanted to. The one thing I will tell you, the 84 series, we were sitting outside the Saddle Dome before Game 6 started, and Cliff Fletcher walked up to me and he says, John, if the Flames win, we're taking the whole Hockey Night in Canada clan out for dinner in Edmonton at Oliver's. And so I said, okay, well, you know, I mean, Cliff was wanting to be a little exaggerous at times. So they do win the game. And there we go. We get invited to dinner with all the Flames brass, Hockey Night in Canada, the Flames brass at Oliver's in Edmonton. And we walk in with Cliff Fletcher, Al McNeil, whoever's with the group, and who's sitting at his regular table.
Glenn Sather.
No, Wayne. Wayne is sitting at his regular table with some mutual friends. And all the Hockey Night in Canada guys are with the Calgary Flames. So that one, the other one was in the 86 series, as a total aside, Bob Johnson was the coach of the Calgary Flames at the time. If there was anybody who was an antithesis of Sather, it was Bob Johnson. And every day of the game day in Edmonton, Bob took his two assistant coaches and walked to Henry Singer's and bought new ties every game day in Edmonton. So, I mean, they were trying every which way, superstitious or tactically, to find a way to beat the Edmonton Oilers.
Now, did Wayne pick up the tab for you guys?
No, there was about 45 at the table,
okay.
So I don't think so. But I remember walking in the restaurant and Gary Dornhofer turning to me saying, "Wayne's sitting right there," and I said, "Well, maybe he won't notice this." Well, he noticed. So that was a time when you'd walk down Jasper Avenue and with all your Hockey Night cronies. And they'd yell at you saying you were cheering for the Flames and you're doing everything for the Flames. And then you'd walk down 4th Avenue in Calgary and everybody'd say you're cheering for the Oilers and doing everything for the Oilers. And then you'd turn to everybody and say, yes, we must be doing something right because everybody hates us.
Well, Craig Simpson hears that every time he works a Leafs game, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's different because the Leafs just hate everyone. So.
Do they? And that's where we're going to follow up. It's been a couple days. Were you surprised at all? It looks like the Shanna plan is going to continue.
Yeah, I think they're too deep. I don't think that they can afford to make any big changes. But I do think the impetus from a few people will say there has to be some lineup changes. There has to be roster. The one thing that I think we learned yesterday was even the best of the Leaf insiders could not predict who the starting goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs is for opening day in October of 2022. Because I don't think Jack Campbell's the guy, and they have to go out and find a goaltender, and I don't know where they're going to get the money.
John, great stuff. Appreciate the time. We'll talk Wednesday next week. It is a best of Oilers now on Monday. Yep.
That's an oxymoron. Yes. I'm jealous. I wish I was there. It is going to be a lot of fun in both arenas. I really enjoy it, Bob.
They could use a new arena here, by the way. I'm just saying.
Well, maybe this will be the impetus. You never know, because as soon as the mayor of Calgary shows up at Rogers Place, something might happen.
There you go. That's our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling. Whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments and no interest for a year. That's how you build a Legacy Heating and Cooling. David Staples, Cult of Hockey, coming up at 2:05 when we come.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Thunderpants!
What are you laughing at?
Laffy Taffy. They have a funny joke on every wrapper, and I love how fruity they are. Banana's my favorite. Want one?
Sure. Mmm, so smooth and creamy.
I like to eat them after school and after dinner and after...
Whenever you need a good LOL?
Yeah! So, here's the joke. What do clouds wear under their shorts?
Thunderpants. That is good.
Laffy Taffy. Deliciously funny. Head to LaffyTaffy.com to shop now.
I'm back in Oilers Now. We'll get into some of your texts on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. 150, you're listening to Oilers Now.
Both sides, when we play each other in the regular season, you know, we've seen low scoring, tight checking games, and obviously last time we were in here was a 9-5 gong show pretty much. So, obviously we want to be a checking team, and obviously that's the brand that they want to play as well. So, you know, kind of depends. I mean, I think you'll see low scoring nights, and you know, maybe some nights there's a couple more goals, but I would expect it to be a pretty tight checking series.
There you go. That's Connor McDavid with a KC and the Sunshine Band bed in the background. You know, there was a remake of what was that song? Something Boogie with Ron Duguay and Guy Lafleur back in the day. I'm getting old. Uncle Milt was telling me the other day that around 20 years ago, a customer told him, a good salesman will sell me one truck, a good service department will keep me coming back. Well, that customer's family have purchased more than 50 units from Brent Ridge Ford out on Wetaskiwin, where cars cost less. That same service department is one of the reasons that Brent Ridge just received their 11th President's Award from Ford for customer satisfaction. If you need a maintenance or repairs in your vehicle, call Kevin, Margie, or Mike at 1-877-477-FORD. That's 1-877-477-3673. Bob Stauffer, Brennan Escott with you. It is currently 1:55 at Edmonton. Still to come, we're going to go an extra hour today and on Friday on game days in round number two when the Edmonton Oilers take on the Calgary Flames in the Battle of Alberta. It should be a kicker. All right, let's get to it. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Bob, are the Oilers doing a boys on the bus kind of thing this year? Not like, are you referring to sort of a documentary, Boys in the Bus? Well, not necessarily this year. 780-496-0063. Bob, which players do you think Dylan Holloway has a good chance at replacing for a game or two? That one comes to us from Justin. Well, Dylan Holloway is on the ice. He has skated. Holloway was very good in the playoffs for the Bakersfield Condors. Picked up 2 goals and 4 points in the playoffs in the 5 games that he played. I do think there's an outside chance that Dylan Holloway could get into the Edmonton Oilers lineup because he'd give them more speed on the left side. Currently, the left wings for Edmonton are Leon Draisaitl, Evander Kane. He's not going to play ahead of those two guys. Josh Archibald and Jesse Puljujärvi. I guess depending upon what you do in right wing, maybe you could see Archibald and Fogle would get the first opportunity to play before Holloway, but never say never. And he's played almost exclusively left wing. And Neil says, Bob, do you think Calgary will try and win 1-0 games against the Oilers, or will they be forced to try and outscore Edmonton? I think Calgary's quite comfortable playing, you know, what's Daryl Sutter's famous line? It's a 3-2 league. I think they're quite comfortable playing 3-2, 2-1 game. That worked, I think, to Dallas's advantage in the last series because Dallas played more one-goal games than any team in the National Hockey League. Edmonton is built differently. They have a different type of squad. I do think it's important. I think the pressure is on. Calgary's the favorite. Calgary's playing at home. Oilers got to find a way to get a split to start this series. I don't think there's any question about that. All right, we are going to head off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. Again, we are going to go an extra hour. We're going to go until 3 o'clock, still to come on today's show. More of your texts. We'll get a little bit more audio in from Oilers head coach Jay Woodcroft, David Staples from the Cult of Hockey, and the Hall of Famer Kevin Lowe coming up. A little bit more talk in the Battle of Alberta. Off to a global news weather traffic update, Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.